I am happy to be joined by Democratic Congressional candidate Jared Huffman running for Congress. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
I think this is your third trip here, so we really appreciate you
good to be back.
Keeping us on your schedule. I have a couple of questions. I mentioned to you I had some... I'm going to look at this. This is the worst, least professional radio station I've been. I have to let my dog out because he's causing trouble.
He's letting you know about it.
We have important people in the studio. You can't... Oh, my goodness. This is why, I guess...
Kicked out of the studio. How about that?
The first time you came here, you were on Mike's show, and you probably were impressed. This is a professionally run operation, and then now you see how it really is.
Nah, it's fine. It would make a good sitcom, actually.
I've always thought that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to make things up. Just write what actually
happens.
A good
reality TV show or something.
For sure. My first question is it's a sort of a broad one, but at some point... I know you've had legislative experience before, and you have been involved in public affairs pretty much your whole adult life, in one way or another. But at some point, you said to yourself, "You know what? I'm gonna run for Congress." And what was it? What combination of things made you make that decision?
Well, it really was a combination of things. When I got elected to the Assembly in 2006, I assumed that it would be 6 years and then on to something else. I didn't know that my congresswoman at the time, Lynn Woolsey, would choose to retire right as I was terming out. And I didn't know that a couple years before that, she would give me a heads up about that and urge me to think about running for the seat. And when I did that and when I spoke to my wife about it and found that she actually was enthusiastic about it, I began to think about it and also at the time began to realize how much I enjoyed my work as a legislator. So the opportunity to continue it, to take it to a higher level was something that I thought was a good fit.
Okay. You realize it's a lot warmer in the summer in Washington, D.C. Like it's
a
humid
lot.
Too. So
yeah, no, I like this job, or I'm interested in this job in spite of that. I have no interest in living and being in Washington, D.C.
Right,
but it's the opportunity to do the work that draws me.
You mentioned, and I'll just ask this sort of tangentially. You mentioned that you were terming out. What do you? How do you feel about term limits? Do you think that's good policy?
No, I think term limits is a bad idea. With good intentions, certainly. I understand what term limits was attempting to address. But what I think has happened as a result is we have short-sighted political institutions and short-sighted politics, risk-averse politics. People are unwilling to take on tough issues, long-term issues. The quality of representation and the expertise in subject areas has really fallen off. Now, we just passed an initiative that might make that a lot better, that gives people the opportunity to serve 12 years in either house or a combination of the two houses. That'll at least give people time to know what they're doing and to take on some longer-term issues. But term limits as it has existed, 6 years in the Assembly and out, I can honestly tell you, I think I was really just getting good at the job in my final term.
Yeah, I don't want to stay on this point too long, but that's the one thing that occurs to me that, you know, so much of getting things done in any form, whether it's business or anything, involves building relationships and kind of understanding a process, and that's an unwieldy process to begin with. So, I know that you have made several trips up to the North Coast, many as a matter of fact, and you probably have talked to a lot of people. Have you identified certain things that you think, if you are elected and proceed to Washington, certain things that are specifically needed in the North Coast?
Well, I think I'm getting there. It's an ongoing process, and I certainly have become aware of all sorts of priority projects and initiatives and needs on the North Coast and in Humboldt County specifically. The last time I was up, for example, I was part of a groundbreaking for the Salt River Project. And I got to be right here in Ferndale with folks and learn about this really ambitious and important project that's going to provide multiple benefits, environmental benefits, flood protection benefits. It's going to be great for the agricultural community and all of the different agencies and stakeholders that had to come together to make that happen. Part of my job as a member of Congress is going to be to make sure federal agencies carry this forward and finish the job. But that's one of many examples. I've been all over Humboldt County, all over the North Coast, learning about things that are underway, things that people hope will get underway. And that's going to be a huge part of my job to make it all work.
Have you identified some specific things that that you think are essential that change around here? I mean, I guess that's kind of a poorly worded question, but there are certain. I mean, there are certain local. I mean, there are certain things that these communities, right, I think, need to move forward. And I was wondering if you had identified anything.
Well, it's a partnership. And so I think my job as a member of Congress is to work with the community on their priorities, to support them, to make sure the federal government is certainly not in the way, hopefully helping to make them happen. I want to bring research dollars to Humboldt State University. I want to support some of the cutting edge energy strategies that are going on there. I want to bring dollars to the restoration economy. A lot of exciting restoration work is going on all over the North Coast and here in Humboldt County. That's work that not only provides immediate jobs, but also helps restore fisheries that provide jobs for the recreational and commercial fishing folks that I happen to support very strongly. And there's any number of other examples. I've visited harbors that need federal dollars, Crescent City, for example, and the fact that they're trying to come back from the damage they sustained in the tsunami, and what a critical asset that harbor is and the federal nexus that exists in getting the dollars to finish that job and to maintain dredging and so forth. So it is a learning curve, I think, to even think about representing a district that goes from the Oregon border all the way down to the Golden Gate Bridge and all the communities and all the needs that are wrapped up in it. But I got to say, I love it. And I'm very excited about the possibility of representing it in Congress.
I suppose that it's I mean, that if you look at the geographic extension of the area that you're representing, I mean, there's a lot of variability there in terms of economics, in terms of lifestyle, in terms of density of population, all of these things. That may not be true for, you know, like if you're representing Orange County, for example, you know, there are variations, but it's not as dramatically different. Does that pose?
Hugely different than some compact urban district or even a compact suburban district. This district just has so much more to it, and it's going to be challenging, but I think it's also, you know, fascinating and just really, really compelling.
We, you know, one of the common things from that I hear from the people that I talk to, mm-hmm, is that they love Humboldt County. It's a beautiful place, and the quality of life here is really good. But basically, no one really is making a tremendously good living. We're all getting by, right, you know, more or less. Some better than others, but nobody. And if you look at the way the economics have changed over the years, it's been pretty dramatic with industries. We had extraction industries for a while, and that was a mainstay. There was tourism and fishing and things like that. And these things have mostly gone away. And I want to ask a question or two about marijuana in a little while, but I think if all of a sudden that money was taken out, that we would be in really seriously difficult things. What can someone who goes to Washington do to really? I mean, can a congressman really do anything that's going to make a difference in that regard?
I think anyone who came on your show and promised they were going to return the economy to the the golden age of maximum resource extraction would probably be less than honest. I'm not sure we'll ever see that again, but I am convinced that we can see a significant and a healthy level of sustainable forestry and fishing and other resource-based industries, including all of these wonderful agricultural activities we see here in Ferndale. I want to fight for those things and put them on a sustainable footing for the long haul. And I think it's absolutely possible. I think as this economy comes back, you're going to see more of a demand for wood, and that's going to be good for the timber side of things. I think as we continue doing this restoration work, and I'd like to take the dams out on the Klamath River and do other really big things for the salmon fishery, you are going to see a return of a very healthy commercial and recreational fishing industry here. And there's just a lot that we can do together. I think the wonderful agricultural products you have here in Humboldt County should thrive in perpetuity if we're smart about the way we manage our lands and our public policies. And all of this can work together, I think, to support an economy that'll have to have other things too. And you've got some wonderful leaders up here working on how to diversify the economy. And it needs to be more than just weed, definitely. But, you know, I'm happy to talk about that part of it too.
I would like to talk about that a little bit. I mean, what I guess I have two questions, one of which comes from a listener. But what do you think, in your opinion, what should be the federal government's enforcement activity towards, you know, in addition to things that fall within 215 right. and those that don't?
Well, of course, I would, at a minimum, I'd like to see the feds back off the cracking down on legitimate dispensaries. I am all for cracking down on the illegal grows on private and public lands. I think there's all sorts of reasons why we need to put an end to that, the environmental destruction, the public safety issues. But I think California has passed an important policy in acknowledging the medical benefits of cannabis. Our challenge now is to get the federal government to reschedule it so that doctors can prescribe it. And then we can put some regulations around this, give it some real integrity and rigor so that medical cannabis really is medical cannabis. And we can then get our federal friends to back off and focus on the other things. Now, over the long haul, I do support legalization and regulation and taxation of marijuana for adults. But I want to be honest with people and realistic that the rest of the country has not caught up to California and a few other places on that issue. We're probably years away from that becoming federal law. So in the meantime, my focus is going to be allowing an appropriate and responsible medical marijuana framework to exist without this risk of federal raids and crackdowns.
Was that something that would be accomplished through legislation? Because the policies seem to change over time at DOJ.
Yeah. My understanding is that this could be done administratively, that the scheduling of marijuana at the federal level. So I'm certainly going to urge that. I know that there are others in Congress who support that as well. But it could also be addressed by way of legislation.
All right. And then the sort of a counterpart to that, this is a question that comes from a listener. And I'll just I will just read it to you. Would you please ask him what he would plan to do to keep illegal grows out of our state parks? You have sponsored legislation at the state level, you know, we're taking water resources and park access. And is this something that's a concern of yours? And if so, what would you do about it?
It's a huge concern of mine. And it's not just state parks. It's our national forests. It's national parks. It's private timberlands. It's any number of places up and down the North Coast. I did a helicopter a tour earlier this week over Sonoma and southern Mendocino County, and you could see all sorts of grow operations going on. And the things that are associated with that all too often, and we're learning this more and more, unfortunately, involve environmental damage that is threatening a huge public investment that we're trying to make in bringing back our salmon runs. I drove along the Eel River on my way to get here, and just looking down from 101, I could see that not only were the flows pretty low, but it looked like there were an awful lot of algae in the water. And that, many believe, is because of the nitrogen-based fertilizers that are just used in a completely unsustainable way, among other chemicals that are part of these illegal grow operations. So. Yeah, so we really have a problem on our hands, and we have to crack down on the illegal grows, whether they're on private or public lands.
All right. Just a couple more, because I know that you – we should mention that you're up here because there's a debate, the Kennedy Forum, that's taking place tonight, and it's going to be at 7 o'clock. It's going to be broadcast on Keat TV, but also the audio will be carried on KHSU, so people can tune into either one of those stations and hear the debate. And we also – extend an offer to your candidate, to your opponent, Daniel Roberts. He is welcome on the show anytime. Just a couple more things. I was reading on your website, your candidate website, that you have certain areas that you've identified. You've enumerated policy positions that you take, and energy and environment form one entry rather than two separate entries. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about why you combine those two.
Well, I think they do kind of naturally go together, at least in many respects. One of the ways in which that is so is the issue of climate change. It's something that I take seriously. I listen to the overwhelming consensus of the scientific community that says this is a big, big problem, and the cost of failing to address it is going to be much, much greater than the cost of stepping up and beginning to address it. So I want to be much more active on that. The things that we do to step up to that great environmental challenge are also going to be good energy policy for the United States. They're going to make us more energy independent. They're going to be good for public health, for clean air, and they're going to be good for our national security because we're going to be creating those energy sources for the most part right here on a long-term renewable and clean and safe basis. So I think it's a pretty good fit to think of environmental and energy policies as related, at least with respect to climate change. There's all sorts of other environmental policies that are not energy related, obviously, but I lump them together on my website.
For whatever reason, and I don't know exactly why I do this, but when I'm driving to and from work, I listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I listen to Sean Hannity, and let's not go into that any further. But they are like almost on a daily basis. You know, they're pummeling Solyndra and the administration's decision to I guess guarantee a loan to Solyndra, an energy company that ultimately failed. Is it appropriate for federal government to guarantee loans for clean energy companies or basically any private business?
I think you have to ask that in the context of an economic crisis that we were facing starting in the fall of 2008, where frankly we needed to create jobs very quickly. We needed to get the economy moving. We needed to save the financial sector. We needed to do all sorts of these things to avoid another Great Depression. And the fact is the banks were not lending. There was an open question as to whether many of the banks were even going to survive. So the idea of federal loan guarantees in order to get investments moving, to leverage private capital as well, but also to create jobs and also help drive this clean energy economy, which we need to get moving at some point. There's never been any part of our energy supply mix that has just materialized without some leadership and some investment from the federal government to get it going. So I think it was perfectly appropriate. And yeah, the folks on Fox News like to single out one of the very few failures of that loan guarantee program. But as a batting average, the stimulus package had a much better batting average than Bain Capital or any number of other, you know, private investment bankers that that take stakes in companies and bet on their success. So, you know, we could spend a lot more time talking about the many, many successes from the stimulus program, including the fact that we now have an American automobile industry and the taxpayers have been paid back in full.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have one more specific question and then one more general question, and then we'll wrap it up. This the specific question comes from a listener who noted that Governor Brown had signed a bill recently that that outlaws the use of dogs when you're hunting bear or bobcat, are the two things that he's and the listener Jay was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, I do have some thoughts on that. That was a bill that did come through my committee. I chaired the Water Parks and Wildlife Committee, and I forged a compromise in my committee that I was able to support. It would have put a moratorium on the use of hounds for bear and bobcat hunting, but that would have been subject to further decision-making by the Fish and Game Commission based on actual science and data. I thought that was the appropriate forum to make calls like that, like specific hunting methods. I didn't feel like the legislature was the place where we ought to be making these calls. We have a Fish and Game Commission precisely to make decisions like that. So that's how the bill came out of my committee. I supported that compromise. Unfortunately, in the next committee, that part of the compromise was undone, and the bill came to the assembly floor as basically a straight ban on the use of dogs in hunting for bears and bobcats, and I voted against it at that time.
Thank you. Now, the last question I want to ask you is more sort of broad and philosophical question. I tried to ask this of you last time you were here, but I bungled it so badly that it just didn't work. And I think the reason why I bungled is because I don't exactly know what I'm asking. But I'll give you kind of the premise of it, and maybe you can just tell me your thoughts. There, a lot of people are pretty disillusioned with Washington. I mean, and this isn't just limited to, you know, sort of Tea Party people or Occupy people. Mm-hmm. I mean, lots and lots of folks, you know, who go about their daily life, look at what's happening in Washington and shake their heads because they feel like the system has broken down, that partisanship has overtaken, that you don't get straight answers, you don't get the truth out of Washington, that it's all sort of, you know, it's a system that's rigged against us. And here's where I start bungling things because I don't know what my next question is. I think it's just along the lines of, do you see that too? Do you feel that too? And if so, is there what could someone who goes to Washington as a representative do to try to change that?
Well, no, I think there is a very important question in all of that. The problem statement I think is absolutely accurate, but I also think this is too important for us to just throw up our hands and be overwhelmed. We have to turn this around. We got to get our federal government and Congress specifically back in the business of solving problems and getting things done for the American people. And there's no one thing that is going to make it better. There's a whole bunch of things, in my opinion, that need to happen. One of them that I certainly want to get to work on right away is I want to try to restore civility and respect to our political dialogue. I don't want to be involved in partisan food fighting and name calling. I think that drags the whole debate down and makes Congress a less functional place. And I think if you look at my record for 6 years in the state assembly, where there's plenty of that type of food fighting, I haven't done it. I've been able to get a lot done across the aisle on issues ranging from clean energy to helping save our state parks. And it's because I don't disrespect my colleagues even when I disagree with them. Beyond that, we're going to have to take some very major steps to begin to get the money out of politics. The Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United, I think, has taken what was already a very troubling influence of money and really kind of put it on steroids. And we're seeing that in this election cycle in a way that I've certainly never seen in my lifetime. And I think the answer is that we need a constitutional amendment. And so I want to get to work right away on an amendment that clarifies that the First Amendment does not include unlimited corporate or other campaign spending, that the federal government, the states, and local government can restrict both expenditures and contributions up to and including public financing of campaigns, which I support, always have. We're going to need those changes. And I think if we can do those two things, restore civility and respect to the debate and take some bold action to rein in the influence of money in politics, we'll be well on our way. The other is we need people that want government to actually succeed. And unfortunately, in the last couple of years, in this particular Congress, we've seen the rise of this group that just hates government so much that they want it to fail. They're just not suited to govern. And I think government is necessary. I think we really need it, and therefore we need to take a more constructive approach to how we govern.
Thank you. I really do appreciate your time, and thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Congressman Jared Huffman, congressional candidate Jared Huffman, and you can find out more about him on the web. It's jaredhuffman.com, but the easiest thing to do is just Google Huffman for Congress, and you will arrive at the right place. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. It's now 14 minutes after 4 o'clock, and...